you will, please, and open with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10, and we want to read from verse number 30 down through verse number 36 or 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through verse 37. A very, very familiar account here in the Word of God. And the Bible said in verse number 30, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest, when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinketh thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he answered, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let us pray. Father, we love you today, and thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the very privilege, the very opportunity of being back in the house of God. Thank you, Father, for each one that's come out today. Father, you know the need of every heart. You know the desire, Father, that rests with them today. Lord, I pray, may you honor and glorify yourself in each and every one of our lives. Lord, may we be as a song we sung, Father, that we want to know more about you. I'm grateful for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that washes and cleanses from sin. Lord, I thank you that after we're saved, that we have the opportunity and the privilege of growing in the grace and the knowledge and the truth of the Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray today, have thy will in every heart, in every life that's here today. Father, I pray, if there's one in our midst today that's never been saved by the grace of God, may today be the day that the Holy Ghost of God brings conviction. They see their need of a Savior and trust Jesus Christ. Then, Father, I pray now that if there's one here today carrying a heavy burden, Father, going through a trying time in life, Lord, I pray that they'll get the help today that they stand in need of. Now, Lord, honor and glorify yourself. Bless the Word of God. Use it for thy honor and for thy glory, and do the work that only you can do in each heart and life. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought, the Good Samaritan. Now, if you back up to verse 25 and read down through verse 26, it gives you more of a clarity on these verses. Now, Jesus used this parable in verses 32 through verse number 37 to explain and answer a question from a lawyer. Now, a lawyer had come to him seeking the very answer of how to inherit eternal life. And of course, Jesus asked him about the law. And we'll look at the law in a moment, that what's written
in the law. And he said there that we are to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And then he asked the second question in verse number 29. He said there, and who is my neighbor? And so Jesus proceeded to answer that question with a parable. A parable is an earthly illustration with a heavenly meaning. And many times Christ used parables to help people understand better of his teaching. In the book of Matthew, if you go sometime and read that book, you'll find there, I believe in beginning with chapter 13, there's 13 parables mentioned there that the Lord Jesus teaches in the book of Matthew. He talks about the seed and the sower and on and on. But here he's dealing with this man's question. One, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And two, who is my neighbor? Now, many times we think about neighbors, we only think about those that live next door to us or in the same community. But a neighbor is a person that God puts in our life that we can help in their walk. But here Jesus said, and Jesus answering, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, outside of this man, there's three other men mentioned here in this parable. We have the priest, we have the Levite, and we have the Good Samaritan. As I studied this, I thought, who am I like? Who do I resemble? Who is my life an illustration of? But as we look at these, I want us to kind of take a journey as this man was taking from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, life is a journey. Life is a trip. You back up, you started in day one. And since that day, you've been on a trip of life. Now, life is very interesting. Life has its ups and it has its downs. It has its good times and it has its bad times. Every one of us go through these different steps of life. Now here, this man comes and he's begun a journey. He's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now history says that this was a very unsafe a road to travel. It was a road where thieves and robbers set out for a lot of times or was there. And so this man begins his journey. And notice that Jesus doesn't even give him a name. And I believe one reason for that is that it can include anybody. As he began his journey there, he's a representative of all mankind. As I stated, on a journey representing life. And life is a journey. I'm grateful for the good time. I'm not grateful. Well, I'll say this. I'm not excited about the difficult times. I know there are times of teaching and training. But we're on that journey. We're going from birth to death. Every one of us has an appointment with death. As much as we don't want to think about it, and as much as we don't really talk much about it, death is set up for every one of us. We are all one day, if the Lord doesn't come first, we are all going to face death. Now there's something about death. Death is no respecter of persons. Death has no real age for it to happen. Because the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Brendan and I were talking the other day about all of the people that have attended this church in its 25 years of existence that have passed on. And we have almost one per year. Just this year alone, we've had three people pass from life to death. All different ages. All different backgrounds. But death is something that's sure. Because the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But along with that, Christ gives us a way to be prepared for death. Now, I am one that is not looking forward to dying. I don't get up in the morning and say, Lord, let today be the day that I die. I don't want to die. I want to live. But I'm glad that death is not something that controls me or that I have to fear because of my relationship with God. But as this man began to begin on his journey, he went from Jerusalem to Jericho. The next thing in his journey in this one verse shows us the struggles of life. Every one of us has experienced struggles. Some of you today may be going through struggles. You may be going through health issues. You may be going through personal issues. You may be going through financial issues. I don't know, but all of us experience struggles in life. This man's struggle began when he met the thieves there on the road. It said that he fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. From my thoughts in this, is he was left with nothing. They took everything that he had and left him for dead. Well, you've got a thief that hovers around you every day. It's not your mama, it's not your daddy, it's not your brother, it's not your sister. It's a person by the name of Satan. Satan is a thief. What do you mean? Satan desires to steal your joy. Satan desires to steal your happiness. Satan desires to steal You're alive. If you're here today and you've never been saved, his whole goal is this. It's to keep you in that condition that you will die without Christ and go to hell. Now, I don't want that. God doesn't want that. But the devil then, for us that are saved, he's continually desiring to sift us as wheat. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our influence. He wants to take away our joy and our happiness and our contentment that we have in Christ. And the only person that can keep that from happening is me and you. And the way we do it is we stay as close to God every day as possible. I mean, the closer you are to him, the better off you are. Now, staying close to Christ, right up, snuggled up to him, brings that contentment and that joy and that happiness. Doesn't eliminate all of the battles and the struggles, but it gives us assurance of who we are and in whom we depend. And it's much like the song that we sung. Even though there's struggles coming, by faith, we're able to live every day, day by day, moment by moment, knowing that we are secure in him. You snuggle up close. You feel the heartbeat. It's harder to get to us, Satan to get to us when we're snuggled up close to the Lord Jesus. But here's Satan desires to do with us what the thieves did with this man. And that is to leave us half dead. I'm not talking so much physical as spiritual. Many times we go through, and we used to have a pastor, he said a lot of times we get in la-la land. We come to church, but we don't come expecting anything. We come to church, and we don't have any desire to put anything into the service. We're just in la-la land. We're just operating. We're just doing what we feel like we're supposed to do. But Satan has some believers half dead spiritually. That is, in their relationship, in their fellowship, and in their participation. But not only do we notice the man that has no name, but let's notice two other people. And as Christ is answering this man's question concerning eternal life and neighbor, I put it down this way. He gives him the empty answer first. There are answers out there today that carry no value. There's answers out there today that cannot change the situation. And here it said, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Now this priest represents the law. We've got people today that instead of placing their faith in the work that Christ did, they're trying their best to live by the law. Let me give you something that may surprise you. The law was not given to save mankind. The law's good. The law is a great ruler in which to measure our life by. But the law was not given to save. Why? Because the Bible says that it cannot save. Notice what the Bible said about the law. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Now, we would say our teacher. Now, if I understand this correctly, teachers cannot make you learn. I had some that could make you want to wish you'd learned. But you know, their job is to teach. It's to show the way of problems to be solved. It's to show a way that life is to be handled. But it comes down to me and you accepting what they teach. Well, that's the same way with the law. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It was there that we would see our condition spiritually. You look at the law, and then you look at yourself, and what it's doing is it's teaching us that we are incapable of reaching heaven without the help of Jesus Christ. It shows us that we are incapable of achieving eternal life unless we come the way that God tells us to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way. And so we have a choice. We can learn or we can refuse. But this man represented the law. And look what the law does for you. It said that he came that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. That's a picture of somebody that's useless, that cannot help, cannot provide what you need. The law, as I stated, is good. And Christ came there. He fulfilled the law. But we have the law in which to be a schoolmaster. You want to check your life out sometime? Read the law and then see how you're living. Doesn't have anything to do with your salvation, but it has to do with the character of your life. And so then it said, and likewise a Levite. Now we've got two religious leaders. One represents the law, the other represents religion. There are more people that are religious than they are trying to obey the law. Religion is motivated by self-righteousness. What religion does, religion says, look at me, look what I've done. Look what I've created. Most of us in reality don't want anybody to look at what we've created. But it's driven by self-righteousness. It's a self-motivated. Religion says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Religion says you do this and I'll do this. Religion said if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, we're not going to do anything for you. But there are a lot of people that are religious. They give money to the church. They attend the church. They're on all kind of committees. They wear buttons. They wear tags. They talk about religion. But they do not know anything about God. Their life does not change. Religion, it does not say a man that is religious or someone that is religious is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. No, religion is what says we can do what we want to do as long as we supply what we have to supply. So we see a picture of religion. We see a picture of the law. They're empty. I challenge you to do this. If you're in disagreement with me about the law, I challenge you to go to Exodus chapter 20 and read the 10 laws there. I want you to write them down. I want you to take them and put them in your pocket or in your purse somewhere. And I want you to look at them every day at the beginning of the day. And then I want you to look at them at the end of the day. And I want you to grade yourself according to the law. You know what the Bible says about the law? If you break one, you're guilty of all of them. And so you and I cannot fulfill the law. Christ fulfilled it. So it's an empty answer for me to tell you to obey the law. It's an empty answer for me to tell you to be religious. But then I want to give you the true answer, the true way. We find it here in verse 33 down through verse number 35. The Good Samaritan does not represent religion, does not represent the law, does not represent church membership, doesn't represent giving. All that comes because of what it does represent. And the Good Samaritan represents none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say that it's a true answer, the true way? Because Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the water of life. I am the salt. And he goes on and on. I'm the bread of life. What he's saying is there is nothing else that can fulfill that spiritual hunger outside of Jesus Christ. Religion may do it for a moment. It may do it for a day. It may do it for a month. But eventually you're going to go back to your same old ways and the discouragement's going to set in. And then the law can't do it because we cannot fulfill it in one day. We can't even obey it for a complete 24 hours. But Jesus Christ comes and says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Does it mean we're not going to be discouraged? No. Does it mean we're not going to have bad days? No. But it says, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. Jesus promised us that he would stick closer than a brother. He'd be the greatest friend that you've ever needed. We can be out here doing what we shouldn't be doing, but he's there to pick us up. The true way. And it said a certain Samaritan. Now I want you to see the difference and the other two men and the Samaritan. Notice both of the previous passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. I want you to think about this. If you're saved today, I want you to think about where he came. I'm not necessarily talking about the position you were in or the place, but where your life was. There's a song that they used to sing that said, he came to where I was. We didn't have to go to him. He came to us. He came to us through the preaching of the Word of God. But there was that journeyman. There was that man. And he was laying there. Had been stripped of everything that he had. And he was left for dead. The priest came by and looked and passed on the other side. I can't contaminate myself with him. The Levite came by and said, I can't have anything to do with him. And he passed by on the other side. But Jesus, the Samaritan, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. This is the great thing about God. We were lost and undone. We were without hope. We were dead. The Bible said in trespass and sin. And yet he had compassion on us. You know who normally has compassion on us? Those we can benefit. Those we can help. Those that we are valuable to. But here, this man was just like you and I in our lost condition. And the Samaritan had compassion as Christ had compassion on us. So we see the difference is not just looking, but it's getting involved. It's coming to where he was. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, you have to come up to my level. But he came down, not in our level of sin, but he came down to where we were to pick us up. Because notice what it said there. He not only came to where he was, he not only saw him and had compassion, but he went to him. He got involved in what was going on. He did not neglect him. He did not refuse to help him. But he went there to him. And it said that he came there, went to him, and bound up his wounds. We had wounds of sin. Nobody could bind them up. Nobody could cleanse us outside of the Lord Jesus. The Baptist church cannot take care of your wounds. It has to be Christ. But it said he bound up his wounds. And I thought of the night that I got saved and how that Christ came and cleansed me and wrapped me in his righteousness, wrapped me in his goodness, wrapped me in his grace and his mercy, pouring in oil represented. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. You know what else Christ did besides saving me and cleansing me? He put the Holy Spirit within me and sealed me unto the day of redemption. He said, you are mine and mine forever. The devil cannot take you away. The devil cannot take you to hell. The world cannot destroy you. You're mine. You have an eternal destination, and that's to be with me in heaven forever and ever and ever. Why? Simply because he had compassion and was willing to extend his grace and his mercy and place in us the Holy Spirit of God to give us direction. And then he picked him up after he bound him up. You know what Christ did with us? After he saved us, he picked us up and set us on a rock and established our direction, put a song in our heart. Here the Samaritan didn't leave him and say, okay, I'm taking care of your wounds, you're on your own. But he picked him up, placed him on his beast, and brought him to an end and took care of him.
brought him to an inn. You know what the inn represents? The church. God wants every one of us to be part of a church. He brought him there. Why? To take care of him. You know what the church, and we studied this today, it's the purpose of the church. It's to take care of people. It's to teach all nations. It's to baptize believers. And then it's to teach them to observe all things. Teach them how to live. Take care of them through their tough times. When things are going rough, to be there as a comfort and a guide. And he took him there to the inn and took care of him. See, this is a great thing about God, the Lord Jesus. He doesn't save us and leave us. He doesn't save us and say, okay, now you're on your own. But he put the Holy Spirit in us to guide us and direct us and teach us how to live. And then it said on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him. He paid the price. You know what Christ did for us? He paid the price. What is the price of sin? The Bible said that the wages, the price of sin is death. Who died? Christ did. He paid that price. Now these 2 pence, they said that during this time, the Roman penny was 1/8 of an ounce, that it was equal to about 15 cents. That was a lot back then. But you know what? Christ gave a lot more than 15 cents. He gave his life. He paid our sin debt with his own life. Shed his own blood that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. But he also did it that he might take care of us and teach us and train us. But not only did he give him comfort and care, not only did he pay the price, but he gave instruction to the innkeeper. God's got instruction for us how to live. He said here, take care of him. He said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest, when I come again, I will repay thee. God's saying to us, take care of the little ones. Reach out to those that are without Christ. And he said, whatever it cost, when I come again, I'll pay. Talking about rewards. We're going to either receive rewards or we're going to lose rewards. But he gave instruction to the innkeeper. And I love this next one. He left the innkeeper with this promise. Whatsoever thou spendest, here's the promise. When I come again, I will repay. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14? He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Here's the promise. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. His promise is, this world's not your home. You're on a journey. Life began here, physical life. And it's going to end here. But we're either going home through physical death or we're going home through the catching away of the church. My prayer is I want to be here when the church gets caught up. I don't want them putting me in a box and putting me in a hole and putting dirt on me. I don't want that. You say, what are you going to do if it happens? It's going to happen. They'll do it. There's nothing I can do about it. But remember this, it won't be me. I won't be there. All you'll have is the tabernacle, the shell in which I now live, the thing that you recognize me by. That's all you'll have. I'll be at home with the Lord. I told him on Thursday concerning Brother George, I said, you want to know where he is? I'm going to tell you. And I gave him scripture. I said, you want to know how he knows he's there? And I gave him scripture. And then I said, who else can go there? And I said, everybody, according to Scripture. That's a great thing about this work of salvation.
It's not for a certain group. There's not a group eliminated. Whosoever will may come. But he said, I'm coming again. And when I come, we're all going to stand before a judgment. Either as believers, the judgment seat of Christ, or as non-believers, the great white throne judgment. Going to give an account for the deeds done in this life. For we that are saved and have lived for God, we're going to receive rewards. Be given to us. Rewards are great. We love them. We love when we get bonuses. That's a reward. Brother Johnny and them played in a tournament the other day in Chattanooga. And they came out the winner. And they got a big old ring. A reward. Now, Sister Brenda said it looked like it come out of a bubblegum machine. It didn't look real. But it's still the reward. You know what he told me? We won the tournament. And we got a ring. A reward. He said it's so clunky you can't hardly wear it. He wished it was where he could wear it. What? It's a reward. You want to show it. God's going to give us some rewards that we can cast at his feet. And thank him for what he's done for us. As musicians come, I ask you these two questions. In your life's journey, is your life's journey leading you down a road of destruction? The Bible said there's two ways. There's a straight and narrow way, and there's a broad way of destruction. The broad way of destruction leads to hell. And said, many be found therein. But there's a straight and narrow way that leads to life eternal. And there be few found therein. Can't get in by paying a toll. You get in by trusting Christ. But where's your life journey leading you? Right now, in your condition, is it leading to a road of destruction? Do you need help today? It's life's journey throwing you doubt, confusion, and just plain heartache. Life become a burden. Sometimes you feel like life isn't worth living. You feel like it would be better if death came. You don't have to live that like that. Why? Because Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor. Heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Then he also said in the book of Peter, cast all your care. He didn't say cares. That care that's burdening you down, that care that's causing doubt, that care that's making you think death is better than life. He said, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. You're important. God said, give me all your problems. Give me all your heartaches. Give me all your troubles. But he said before that, give me you. Come to me and let me do a work in your life that nobody else can do. I ask you today, where's your journey taking you to? Are you on a journey going to heaven? But got problems, he'll take care of them. Your road of life is leading you to eternal damnation. That's horrible. Because Christ said, I love you. I died for you, and I will save you. Let's stand as they play, just as I am, very softly. I ask you to come. I ask you to come right now. Don't wait. Don't look and say, who else is coming? Just come. You're here and you need a Savior. I invite you to come today. You say, I don't fully understand. We'll take the Word of God and we'll show you how to be saved. You're here today and you're saved, but your life is just crumbling. Your life is a burden. Your life is full of heartache. Christ said, cast thy care upon me. For I care for you. So I ask you to come right now. The law will deceive you and finally condemn you. Religion may make you happy for a moment, but eventually leave you empty. But Christ will give you life. Christ will give you joy. Christ will give you peace. I ask you to come. One more stanza. Nobody come to a closing. Thank you for your attention.